Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad. And I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive and June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive and June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive and June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to the Off Menu podcast, peeling the satsuma of humour and putting in the segments of good friends into the fruit salad of the internet.
Ooh, that's looking like a nice fruit salad now.
Things are going well.
That's a gamble. My name is James A. Caster. We own a dream restaurant, and every single week we invite in a guest. We ask them their favourite ever starter, main course, dessert, side dish and drink. Not in that order. And this week, our guest is
AJ Adudu. AJ Adudu, a brilliant presenter, broadcaster and fantastic company.
I'm so excited. I'm a big fan of AJ. Especially her series of Strictly Come Dancing.
Yes.
Big moment in my life.
Yeah, huge.
Big highlight of my lockdown.
What I've not realised until this point is what James is doing with the people that we book is he's pretty much saying yes to people who've been on that series and is trying to tick off the whole thing.
Even
though we haven't completed your Bake Off episode yet.
We still haven't completed that and I want to. There's a few things that I want to complete.
Yeah.
And we're getting there.
Yeah, we are.
We're getting there with a few of them.
Yeah.
And I think that's Strictly series, bit by bit now.
Bit by bit.
We're doing all right. But listen, I love AJ.
Yes, she's brilliant.
And all the stuff that she's got coming up. You know, yeah. Big Brother's coming up.
She's the new host of the new Big Brother, which is going to be on ITV2 and ITVX.
Yep. Big fan, but if AJ says the secret ingredient,
what are we going to do?
We're going to
evict her.
Evict her, yes. Thank sorry, you. Yes. Yes. We will evict her.
Sometimes I think we're on the same page and then sometimes I know we're not.
Yeah, I just thought that was really dark what you were about. I was like, what the fuck is
you thought I was going to say we're going to kill her?
Yeah, well, you were like, what are we going to... You pointed at me and went, what are we going to do? I was like, what the hell?
The secret ingredient this week is Piccalilli.
Piccalilli!
This was suggested by a listener.
Yes. Peter Kay. He brings it up in his comedy. He says, don't eat anything that's luminous.
That's a good point. I mean, we'll ask Peter Kay, really.
I believe he's from the same county as AJ.
That was suggested by Martin Trory, James, not Peter Kay.
Ah, oh, fair enough.
I don't personally mind Piccalilli, but I'd say I have Piccalilli once every 3 years.
I don't think I've ever had it.
It's very vinegary, which I like. Oh. It's got a real bite to it.
Might like it.
Piccalilli, and Piccalilli.
Oh, do you know what? I love it then, but you know, if Martin doesn't like it,
yes,
then we'll submit it. It's a secret ingredient.
We'll bow to Martin and Peter Kay.
Yes,
now
and always.
I'm not sure. Yeah, like you say, AJ is from the same county as Peter Kay, so maybe they're all anti Piccalilli.
Yeah, maybe she's like, don't eat anything that's luminous.
Yes, fair enough. But very excited to speak to AJ. This is the off menu of
AJ Adudu.
Welcome, AJ, to the Dream Restaurant.
Thank you for having me.
Welcome, AJ Adudu, to the Dream Restaurant. Been expecting you for some time.
Thank you so much. I mean, honestly, I'm delighted. You've just jumped out of the lamp like a real genie.
Yeah, like a real genie. Do you want to describe the jump to the listeners?
It was plosive. Explosive.
Now, you're reading the fact that there's plosive behind me. Says plosive many times behind me.
Yeah.
What is with the plosive? I love it.
That's the name of the production company.
Okay, yeah. Classic.
But you went with explosive in the end.
I did. It was a big bang.
Yeah.
A puff of smoke.
Yeah.
In theory.
Yes.
In our minds.
Well, no, in reality, it was real.
Yeah, it was real. In a way.
It was mind smoke.
Yes.
You've asked AJ to describe it. You can't start correcting her.
It was real. I don't want the listeners to think it wasn't real.
No, but it was real in our minds.
Yes. And in reality.
Yeah.
And in life. Do you think, AJ, Derren Brown would be able to trick you quite easily? Because like, just then, like I got you to say explosive without even, you know, because it was written loads behind me. Do you think he'd be able to trick you?
I'm easily manipulated. Yeah. You know when people go and see psychics and stuff like that?
Yeah.
And they're like, oh my gosh, they've been absolutely amazing. They just told me loads and loads. And I'm like, did they tell you? Or did you tell them?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they repeated it back to you.
Yeah.
And especially if it's positive stuff, people love hearing that. It's like star signs. It's like, oh, I'm an Aquarian. It means I'm really creative. I go with the flow and blah, 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 blah. And it's like, well, what's the negative? And I'm like, I don't remember any negatives about my star sign, actually.
Yeah.
It's very that energy.
Yeah.
I will focus on the positive, the plosive, and then I will correct myself. Yeah.
You know who really loves star signs and believes in star signs is Sally Traffic. Do you know Sally Traffic?
No.
She does the traffic on
James
the radio.
James has got a vendetta against the lady who does the radio on radio weather on radio.
It's just the traffic.
Sally Traffic.
Oh, wait. No, she does it on Claudia Winkleman's show and O'Leary's show as well. I do know who she is. Of course I do.
Yeah.
Right. What's your vendetta against her?
Well, she believes in star signs. I'm not into them.
Oh.
Which is fine, I think.
But hence the eye roll when I said Aquarius.
No. I was like, good on you. You were talking about it in realistic terms.
Yeah.
Okay. You were saying, nah, those people fall for that shit. But like, well, I wasn't even being disrespectful when I met Sally Traffic. I was just standing around talking to Clara Amfo, who was about to go in and do a show, talking about promoting her show about star signs. Sally Traffic comes out of her office. This is just in the waiting area. And she's like, I love star signs. I believe in all that. That's me down to a T. Then Clara Amfo left us alone to go and do her interview. So then Sally Traffic's like, you believe in him as well? And I went, no. And she went, ugh, how old are you? And I was like, 37 at the time. She was like, oh, I get it. Woke.
James is very outspoken. He's very honest. And that's why he's a classic Sagittarius.
Yeah. That's true.
Are you a Sagittarius?
No, Capricorn.
Oh, do you know some of the most successful people in the world are Capricorns?
Yeah, man.
Can't name them right now, but yourself is one of them.
Yeah, so I'm one of the most successful people in the world.
Yeah. And do you know the other star sign?
Yeah.
Which is hugely successful?
Uh-huh.
Aquarius. That's
is
me.
It?
Yeah, there you
go. Would you say that all of the star signs are represented amongst all of the most successful people in the world? Maybe. Mm.
Possibly.
Yeah, possibly.
Probably.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Well, who knows?
Pisces probably gets a look.
Are you Pisces?
Yeah.
Oh, lovely.
What does that mean about me?
I don't know, but you're very creative and fun, I think.
Thank you.
And also, compatibility-wise, Aquarians tend to get on with Pisces.
So it's going to be a great episode.
So you two are going to get on?
Yeah.
Capricorn?
No, we get on as well. No, we do get on.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a relief.
Yeah. Full stop. No, we do get on. Listen, Aquarians, we go with the flow. Everyone thinks that we're a water sign, but we're actually an air sign.
A what?
An air sign.
Oh, yeah. Air sign. Yeah.
Air.
Yeah. No.
Air sign.
Don't change it for us.
Yeah. Benito, Google what star sign Sally Traffic is, please. I just want to see why we didn't get on.
Compatibility-wise.
Yeah.
We probably weren't compatible.
Yeah.
Maybe she was trying to spark a romantic connection. And sometimes, your compatibility changes romantically.
Yeah.
So, for example, Aquarians were really romantically connected to Libras and who else? Can't remember. But I'm not massively into stars.
I'm beginning to get that sense, AJ, that you don't really believe it at all.
Come on, I'm not Mystic Meg. I'm not psychic. I'm not into star signs. I don't get
most
it.
Most legitimate of all the psychics.
Yeah. That's Mystic it. Meg. She was the one.
Virgo, apparently. Sally Traffic.
Oh, no, we like a Virgo.
Capricorn and Virgo.
Now, I don't think you two are compatible because you're very creative and strong-minded.
Mm. Me?
Yes, Capricorns are very focused. You can work solo, do you know what I mean? You can work collaboratively, but you have a vision and you stick with it. Yeah. Virgos are very strong as well. I do like a Virgo.
Yeah, yeah. I think Sally Traffic is a good egg.
Virgos are good at traffic.
Virgos are great at traffic.
Virgos are great at traffic.
Do Aquariuses like food?
Yes, absolutely. All types of food.
All types.
You've got
nothing that you don't like. When you're going to a friend's house for the first time, is there anything you don't eat? Are you just like, no, fine?
I tend to say as it comes. Because the things that I don't eat can be picked out. Usually with these, but there is one food that can't be picked out with these. And it's mainly because people tend to crush it and crumble it everywhere, sprinkle it everywhere on top of things. And that thing is pistachio.
Pistachio? I thought you were going to say parsley or something.
No.
Pistachio?
Pistachio. Mm. I don't like it. I don't like it. I don't know why. It feels creamy and sickly. The texture, the flavour, I don't like it. And people like to put it on cheesecakes, on top of ice cream, on top of a lot of amazing things. I'm like, why ruin an ice cream with pistachio?
And it isn't, you're right, you don't like one of the only things that can't be picked out of something.
Yeah.
Because no one's really putting whole pistachios in stuff, really, are they?
No.
They're crumbling.
They're crumbling it.
They're crumbling. It's a nightmare for you.
It's a nightmare. I can't get it off. Can't get it out. Can't get it off. It's just in my mouth. Yeah, and I can't get it out. I have to swallow. It's a mess.
But so if someone said to you, oh, we're having you over for dinner, is there anything you don't like? You wouldn't say, I don't like pistachios. You'd just take the risk.
I'd take the risk, to be honest, and I'd probably just skip dessert. I don't want someone to like completely change the menu because of me. I'm not that person. That being said, it would be nice if there wasn't pistachio on the menu, but it's not the end of the world if there is.
I agree. I mean, it doesn't improve any dessert. Crust pistachio over the top of it.
I don't know.
I'm not having a better time.
No, I'm a pistachio fan.
I like pistachios, but I think crushed up and put over desserts, no, that doesn't do anyone any favours.
But even pistachio as a nut itself, I'm like, it's a bit of aggro, isn't it? You have to crack it, open it, like,
well,
eat it.
There's a great new product, and it's a project in their hearts. Yes. Wonderful pistachios. Yeah. They come in a bag, they've had the shells removed.
Wow.
Excellent stuff.
Stunning.
And we have advertised them in the past, but this is a personal recommendation.
Yeah. And AJ, I mean, if I may, I will double down on that because Ed was like, you had those wonderful pistachios. They live up to the name, I tell you.
I don't think I said that.
He did say that. He said, talk about wonderful.
No, I didn't say that, AJ.
He said that they are wonderful pistachios. I can see why they called it, is what he said. And it was like, you got to try them. I was like, I'm not bothered, man.
Yeah.
He was like, no, you don't have to open them. They're just like, I was like, forget it. Then one day, we didn't have long between episodes. I had to quickly wolf something down. There's a bag of them on the table. I thought, I'll have a little bit. I just have a couple of nuts. They go back in. I ate the whole bag. They were delicious. I couldn't stop eating them.
You couldn't stop?
I had the salt and vinegar ones. They're just wolfing them down.
What, they come in different flavours?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Wonderful
flavours.
Wow.
Barbecue, salt and vinegar. Honey roasted.
Do you know what? Genuinely, these are all delicious flavours.
Mm.
But like the thought of those flavours paired with pistachio is making me feel sick.
Have we still got them in the next room, Benito?
Ew.
We've still got them in the next room. Would you?
We've nearly run out of this podcast,
end of this episode, would you try one?
Yes, I'll try one.
All right, okay.
I'll try one.
Let's do that. Also, we are nearly running out, so.
Of time. I've only just got here.
Bye, we just want you to eat a pistachio. What's your menu? Eat a pistachio.
Also, what we want to talk to you about before we run out of time, we've only got about 5 minutes left, is a new series of Big Brother.
Yes!
So exciting.
I'm so excited about it.
So what can you tell us about this series? Are they going to ramp it up?
Which you are hosting, by the way,
yes. AJ's not in the house.
I'm not in the house. I did actually have to explain that to someone the other day who's very, very young, young person. And they were like, oh, you're going in? And I was like, no.
Would you ever?
No.
No, you're hosting now. Why would you go in?
Yeah, I wouldn't go
You've
in.
You've seen how the sausage is made, haven't you? You've seen how the sausage is made. You don't want to be in there.
That's the phrase, isn't it? If you've seen how a sausage is made, you don't want to get inside the sausage.
You don't want to get in that sack.
You don't want to become a sausage?
No. But I'm so excited. They are going to ramp it up this year. It's going to be out in the autumn. Mm-hmm. It's going to be in its new home of ITV2 and ITVX. And I'm going to be hosting it alongside the wonderful Will Best, who's a really good mate of mine and an amazing live host. So... Yeah. Us two together, it's like dream team.
Yeah, you think.
I think. And
I'm
so,
sure it is.
And so does the channel.
Yeah, the channel.
Puts together.
You're on board, the channel's on board.
Yeah. Will's on board.
And soon the audience will be on board.
Fingers crossed.
I mean, Big Brother audiences, you know, they're pretty hardcore. They're all going to get their favourites in the house. Do you want to have to deal with those people? Have you got a technique for when someone's about to come out the house, everyone's going nuts, all the live audience?
Yeah.
Have you got to, like, do a bit of crowd control there?
Do you know what? The crowd control with me is just be louder than the crowd. I feel like I'm very equipped for that role. Yeah. I've never been described as quiet.
Yeah.
Body language, do you know what I mean? Sometimes you just have to look at someone and go, come on.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Do you know, like when you were younger and you were getting told off by your parents at like someone else's house, and if you was acting out of line, they didn't even need to raise the voice. They didn't even have to say anything. My mum would just give me a look and I'd be like, oh, I've crossed the line here.
So you can give the crowd one of your mum's looks.
Exactly. Yeah. One of your mum's looks, that's it.
To be fair, the listener didn't see it, but AJ did the impression of her mum's look, as you were saying, and that worked.
As soon
as you did, I was like, okay, I'm going to behave for this podcast now because
calm down.
If anything,
stop throwing eggs, guys.
I don't think you even need to announce who's been evicted. I think you should just put a live feed into the house and have everyone who's nominated sitting in front of the screen, and then you just look at the person who's evicted. And they come out and they'll be like, that's me.
I'm out. Messed up. Do you ever dislike, I mean, because I've seen some reality shows where like they do the eviction chat or they do like a big reunion at the end and the host interviews everyone. And some hosts do a better job than others at masking their actual feelings on the housemates or something. And sometimes you can tell they hated this person as well. Mm. We've all hated them for the whole series. But you can tell the host also disapproved of them.
Do you think you will be good at masking that?
I think I am going to be quite good at masking how I feel about them personally. Because it's about their story, isn't it? It's their journey, their story. I just want to get inside their minds, I guess. I want to ask all of the questions that everyone at home wants to ask. I want to understand why they did what they did or said what they said. And I think because it is Big Brother and everything is filmed 24/7, I wouldn't even need to really say, this is what I think. I can just say, have a look at this clip. Now, how do you think the public responded to that? Do you think maybe that is the reason why you're sat here today and not someone else?
Yeah.
That's my energy. That's going to that be my energy.
Be great. Right, that's energy. Really good. Sort of like, almost like sort of head teacher energy. Of like, and why do you think that was wrong?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? Like, don't ask me the question. I'm asking you the question.
Yeah, it's good as well because that is less work for you overall.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just clips.
I think a lot of the arguments in Big Brother classically have been driven by lack of food sometimes.
Oh, my God. Well,
I think people get hangry, don't they?
Do you know what? Mm. Genuinely, this is the reason why I'd never go into that house, right? Because I just think, you know, meeting people, being sociable, that's one thing. That's amazing. But also, you know how it is. It's exhausting. Mm-hmm. You might get back. I mean, I don't know what you do to unwind in the evening, but I'm like, I do like to sit in silence and watch TV.
Yeah.
It's hard to believe because I go yap, 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 yap all day. But I do. I have quiet time with me, myself and I, and I don't want to speak to anyone.
Yeah.
But there, it's 24/7.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm like, oh my gosh, what? They're sleeping next to me. They all sleep next to each other. They have to do the shopping list with each other. It's kind of like, I always remember in previous series, people being like, cheese, you want cheese? That's so expensive, I don't eat cheese.
Yeah,
I don't
even eat cheese. It's always an argument, isn't it, about cheese?
Yeah. And also the scenes, the desperate scenes where people are going, right, we're dividing the toilet bowl, and sheet by sheet, they're cutting it out and the rationing toilet paper.
Yeah.
And it's just, I just couldn't do it.
No.
I wouldn't want to ask any housemate in there, do you scrunch or do you fold? Because one's economically not right. One's a bit more wasteful than the other.
I'd go through all of my toilet paper ration within the first hour of getting it.
Because,
you know, I'd like to be luxurious with that sort of stuff. And then for the rest of the week, I'd just be having a shower every time I went for a shit.
Yeah.
It was a good way of doing it.
That's fair enough.
Yeah.
They don't film you in the shower.
No.
It's okay
if you just got shit running down your legs in the shower. they're not going to get that on camera.
Because there's always, like, I remember classic celebrity Big Brother argument. John McCrurick wanted his Diet Coke. He complained about his Diet Coke the whole time.
Mm-hmm. There's the Diet Coke.
David's dead.
Oh my gosh.
Well, that was nothing to do with food. But
that was nothing to do with food, but it was iconic.
Well, it's the best TV show moment of all time. And I'm including, like, Succession.
Yeah. It was so good. And I just remember Nikki, bless her, RIP, but she was amazing when she was like, who is she? Where did you find her? And then just complaining about, you know, she just eats all of the cornflakes, like the mountain of cornflakes is in that bowl. And you're like, oh my gosh, babe, chill out. It's literally cornflakes. But they are, they're so hungry.
It sends people.
You've got to do that with cornflakes.
What?
I think cornflakes, you've got to have a big mountain of cornflakes in the bowl.
Yeah.
Why? Because it melts down.
It's just great. Like, I want to eat loads of cornflakes. So I like piling them up and then you put the milk over, maybe a bit of sugar.
First out the house.
What?
He'd be absolutely first out the house.
Yeah, I imagine I would.
James, why are you eating all those cornflakes? You've eaten everyone's cornflakes for the entire week in one bowl. Because it's great.
Because I like a big bowl. So a small bowl of cornflakes doesn't hit the spot.
Oh my gosh. You'd be amazing in the house.
Yeah, you would be, actually.
Already? I know. You'd be iconic.
Do you know what, AJ? It's genuinely one of the things I have to live with in life is knowing that I would be the best on reality TV, and yet I'm too up myself to do it. It's a real shame because I know I'd be excellent value.
Yeah.
You Strictly. Would be.
Strictly, I'll be brilliant. I'll be brilliant on Traitors, anything, any of that stuff. I can make a whole living just doing all those shows. But sadly, I'm too stuck up. Too pompous.
How do we bring you back down to earth?
Yeah, not you don't
have to. Sadly, because I'm a Capricorn, it means I'm hugely successful.
Yeah.
Which means that I'm never going to do those shows.
You don't need to. Yeah.
If my career crashes, if someone can somehow figure out how to bring a Capricorn down, then I get desperate. Then you might see me in the house.
Well, the only person I know who could bring a Capricorn down is an Aquarius.
Mm.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to do some work there, AJ.
Head to head.
Yeah.
I don't ever want to bring anyone down, though. It's not my vibe. I just want to bring them up. Everyone can be up together.
Yeah.
And I'll never be on those shows.
Oh.
And if I was ever on those shows, I'll tell you, you think McCruick gets angry if someone steals his Diet Coke? I'd be furious.
You
can and I'd have a story to tell them.
Yeah.
As well, about how much Diet Coke means to me.
Yeah.
Still a sparkling water.
Still. But it's actually tap water still.
Your preference is tap water?
Yeah. Well, especially Blackburn. So I'm born and raised in Blackburn.
Mm-hmm.
And the water, honestly, is delicious.
Yeah.
In Blackburn, Lancashire, that water coming out of the taps, it's from the Pennines, darlings.
Yes.
Mm. So it's stunning. It's delicious. And all through my youth, growing up, I was like, I just don't get bottled water. Like, why in the UK is anyone paying for water? Unless it's flavoured or sparkling or whatever. I kind of get that, but I'm like, I don't get it as a concept. And then I moved to London. We've got hard water in London.
Yeah.
And you can taste the difference. Mm. And I am like, oh my word. This tap water is disgusting in comparison to Blackburn tap water.
Yeah.
But I've got a filter through the tap. So it's somewhat filtered, but still, just as it comes. I still stand by the logic.
But you want, for your dream meal, Blackburn tap water.
Blackburn tap water. Yeah. It's got to be from my mum's kitchen's tap.
Yeah, I completely get this. When I was thinking, when Ed and I did our dream menus, we kind of did loopholes on the water course like naughty little boys. But if I was going to choose a water, it'd be the water from my girlfriend's mum's kitchen tap in Salford.
Oh.
I would have that because that is delicious.
You know the individual tap doesn't, both of you... need to readjust what you're talking about. The actual tap doesn't make a difference. The area
does make a difference.
I'm fully on board. Makes a difference.
The tap.
You can't go.
What are you talking about?
The tap in my girlfriend's mum's kitchen. Because what if she moves? What if she moves to London?
Okay.
Yeah, but in Salford, I added in Salford, didn't I?
Yeah, but that's someone else's tap. That?
Yeah. Huh?
That's someone else's tap.
I hear you, but I'm thinking my dream meal, you know, my dream water from my dream scenario.
It's in my
mum's kitchen.
I understand that.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It's genuinely the first thing I do when I go back home to see my mum. I'm like, oh, mum, I'm back. And instead of popping the kettle on, I just head straight for the tap.
Yeah.
And when I come back as well, I always take me massive water bottles and bring Blackburn Water back. It's like I've been to Lourdes. Have you ever heard of Lourdes?
Yeah.
Roman Catholic. If you're Roman Catholic Christian, you'll have heard of Lourdes. It's where people go to get holy water, have miracles performed on them and cure themselves from ailments, right? So it's I've never been, but growing up, I went to a lot of religious primary schools and churches and whatever, and that was where we'd go. Yeah. And people would bring back gallons of holy water.
Yeah.
And that is what I'm like. Coming back from Blackburn, I feel like I'm carrying holy water.
Yeah.
But it's Blackburn tap water. But it does. And when it runs out in London, I'm like, oh, gutted.
Get a priest to bless your mum's kitchen tap.
Oh, my gosh.
And then it'd be holy water as
then
well.
It would.
Then you got both.
Then my mum's would become Lourdes.
Well, then, but then more people are going to go there, right? Feels like she's going to have a queue of like she's people gonna, with ailments all the way around the corner.
She's going to have a massive water bill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I hadn't even thought about that. I grew up in London, and I've got to say, I think the rest of you, your water's too soft.
Not true.
What?
I've got family who live up north. When I go visit them and I have a shower, I come out of there, my hair, I look like a chihuahua puppy. It's too fluffy. Yeah.
Well, you've been standing in there doing a full shit. So
I'm not going to do the shit in the shower in Big Brother. Do the shit in the toilet and then immediately get in the shower to wash my butt. The water's too soft.
I'd say you're still in the shower for too long because you're washing the shit off your ass. But no wonder your hair's all fluffy.
It's too fluffy. I come out looking too fluffy.
Oh, my word. No, I think you're wrong there. I think you're just not used to the good stuff.
Yeah, I think that's it.
Do you know, the worst thing is, though, right, because, you know, I don't always drink filtered water. And my houseplants do get filtered water.
Yeah.
The houseplants are fussier than me, let me tell you. They die if I give them London water. Yeah. And you actually do see the hard residue on the soil sometimes.
Wow.
And I'm like, I am putting that inside my body. Yeah. What is in this London water?
Have you ever tried giving your plants the Blackburn water?
I haven't actually.
Because all over the walls like Jumanji.
Mate, that's exactly what I was going to say.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh my God.
They did a fist pump. Jumanji. It's just perfect.
I
can't even be annoyed that you got there before me.
There's no need for us to both be on this.
We're joke brothers.
We both share the same mind. Poppadoms or bread? Poppadoms or bread, AJ Doodoo? Poppadoms or bread?
I'm going poppadoms because it's lighter, it's crispier. And before a main meal, I'm very against the notion of filling myself up with loads of bread.
Mm-hmm.
It's too heavy. Yeah. But I love bread. Don't get me wrong. Love bread. Yeah. But it wouldn't be in a three-course meal scenario. Mm-hmm. I love poppadoms with like a chutney with it as well. That's nice. And what's the mint one that you get from the Indian restaurants? Oh, that's gorgy.
Yeah.
I love
gorgy.
That.
Gorgy.
Gorgy.
Yeah.
Gorgina.
Gorgina.
That's
yeah.
Gorgina.
I love
it.
Gorgina. Lovely.
So you want just those two dips, the chutney and the raita. That's it?
That's it. That's it. Nothing else. Don't want any of the onions. Don't want anything else. And actually, two poppadoms specifically. That's tops, actually. I'd probably have one and a half.
You just end up filling yourself up.
I don't want to be full. I don't want to be full before my meal.
Yeah.
Honestly, when I go to restaurants as well, sometimes with my mates, everyone's like, oh, would you like bread with that? Get the bread. And I'm like, why are we doing the bread?
Yeah.
About to get a meal with sides, dessert. There's going to be no room for dessert if we have half a loaf of bread before the meal.
But what if it's really good bread? Yeah. It's worth it. Like when it's like so good. There are some restaurants where, like, I'm like, we have to get the bread here. It's so amazing.
Asia's giving you the look.
No.
Yeah, I'm getting the look. I'm getting...
You're getting evicted.
I'm getting Mama Radoodoo look.
What's your favourite bread?
Okay. There's a whole bunch I like, I guess. Like, I've chosen on this before, this fluffy kind of pizza bread from Ulta. I like Guinness bread.
It's not, quite heavy Guinness bread.
Yeah.
That's too heavy. That's like the main meal. This is what I'm saying. It's too heavy. It's too stodgy. It's like too much. And then, obviously, you can't just have bread on its own, right? Yeah. So it's like, I love salty butter, like really salty. I love it.
Yeah.
And then if that bread is warm, I do like it when the bread's served warm. Yeah. Look, guilty as charged.
Yeah.
Especially as you've got the salty butter and you just spread it, thick layer, and it just melts into the bread. And it is so delicious. Mm. It's like having like a crumpet bread cake. It's just like delicious.
Yeah.
But it's filled me up.
Yeah.
That's my issue with it. So I can't have it in my dream meal.
No, it's fine. It's great. I love Papadoms. Are you going to... Well, I mean, we've seen you be mother already today because you're giving me, shot me that look, but you're going to be mother and slap and smash the Papadoms?
No. I break it off piece by piece and I never understand when people are just smashing through Papadoms. Yeah. I'm like, excuse me, what sort of etiquette is this?
Yeah.
It's not right. There's loads of crumbs when you smash through it.
Yeah.
And I don't... Yeah,
you can't dip the crumbs.
You're losing some crumbs.
We're losing edibility once we get to crumbs. Because how are you eating the crumbs?
Do you want some salty butter to spread on your Papadoms, just so you don't miss out on that?
No, I don't want it. I don't want salty butter there.
Okay, fair enough. No. Just good to offer these things.
Thank you.
Because they don't often.
Yeah,
in Indian restaurants, they won't often offer you salted butter to spread on your Papadoms.
They bring along sandwich fillings and stuff for you.
can I get a bit of tuna mayo on my Papadom?
I wouldn't say no to that.
Yeah, that'd be quite
nice. Like a tuna melt, but with Papadoms.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh, that'd be so nice. Not, I don't think the melt bit. I just think the tuna.
I think the melt bit. I think tuna mayo, cheese, Papadom either side.
Mm.
But then how are you melting it?
Just zap it under the grill.
Zap it under the grill.
Zap it. Zap.
You could zap the tuna and cheese under the grill and then put it on the Papadom.
Yeah.
I think that's too many textures, you see, because I think once you get into chewy territory with crispy, it's getting a bit messy. Yeah. But if you have like tuna mayo on the corner, maybe a cheeky little cucumber on top, nicely sliced, and then like the Papadom on the bottom, almost like a pizza Papadom, that in your gob. 10-10. Chef's kiss.
So do you want that then? If that's 10-10.
Do you know what? I do.
So you'd like the tuna mayo with cucumber Papadom?
Yeah. I love that. Scrap the chutney.
Yeah.
Scrap the writer.
Yeah.
And let's just have tuna mayo on the Papadom.
Perfect.
Yeah. We've invented
delicious
a new thing.
Yeah, that feels good.
Do you think it's gonna catch on?
No.
I think at least one person listening to the podcast will do it.
Well, no context off menu who runs a Twitter account. Normally, if someone invents a dish, they will then try it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, tell us how it is, please.
Yeah. Your dream starter.
Oh, no.
I'm just giggling because given the conversation we've just had, this makes no sense.
Yeah.
But my dream starter is homemade cheese on toast.
Well, here we go.
Well, now it makes more sense to me now because you don't want to fill yourself up on bread before your cheese on toast, right?
Yeah,
that would be insanity.
It would be insanity, yeah. But I love cheese on toast so much. I love toast, actually. And anytime like I'd get back from school growing up, so we'd have stew. There's always rice and stew in any Nigerian household. There's always rice and stew in the fridge.
Yeah.
And the stew is like tomato based. There's meat in it. It's a little bit spicy. It's delicious, right?
Yeah.
And the flavour just gets better and better the longer it's in the fridge. So that would kind of be my snack. My mum would always have rice in there to have with the stew. But I loved toast and stew together. Ooh. Dip it. It's amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, oh, it's so good. But that being said, leave the rice and stew in the fridge for the moment because cheese on toast is my dream starter. And it needs to be a really strong, mature cheddar.
Yes.
It needs to be thinly sliced. Mm-hmm. Not
I
too
knew he
thin.
Wouldn't like that. As soon as you said thinly sliced, I just thought, I knew it was going to happen. My peripheral vision. After he'd been like, yes, to the mature cheddar, as soon as you said thinly sliced, I saw him going, Chinese.
Not toothy.
He didn't like it.
I didn't like it.
I don't like it dripping over the edges.
Oh,
come on. Getting your grill all messy. No, I don't like it.
Grow up, AJ.
it needs to melt perfectly. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I would get brown bread, with the seeded bits in there.
What the fuck? Great.
You don't like that as well?
Seeded, I'm happy
are
with
seeded.
No, I'm happy with seeded. Seeded is good. I was back on board by the seeds, but when it was brown bread, I was like, come on.
Seeded brown bread.
I love it.
Thickly sliced.
I was raised on brown bread.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
Lovely. I had you down as a sourdough guy.
No, I discovered sourdough till about 5 years ago.
Why is it all the rage? Now I don't get sourdough.
That's
another thing that I don't understand.
Yeah.
Because put that in the toaster, 10 seconds too long, you're chewing on cement.
Sure.
It's so hard. It's like chewing a brick, scratching the sides of my mouth. It's just not good.
No.
It's very difficult to find the point where it's correctly toasted.
Exactly.
Because if it's under toasted, it's too bread. Too chewy. Yeah, it's bread.
It's chewy bread.
It's bread.
And then if it's over toasted, it's just rock solid.
Yeah.
It's like eating towels. Don't want it. Not nice. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we're back to our thickly sliced seeded bread in the toaster.
Ah, now I have a question.
Yeah, hit me.
I was fine with the thinly sliced cheese, but now you said it's thickly sliced bread. And for me, that combo, that scares me.
The ratio's off for you. Mm. It's not thin. It's not like too thin.
Uh-huh.
It's not like see-through. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So you can't see. Once melted, you can't see the toast.
Yeah.
But it's not dripping. It's not so thick that it's dripped over the edge.
Okay.
I want to see the crust as well.
Okay.
So about 3 millimetres.
Of cheese.
That's the cheese.
And how much bread?
How many millimetres of bread?
I'd say about 5.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's all right. That's good.
Oh, yeah, and then I think, I mean, listen, my maths is all off. I can already tell because 5 millimetres isn't thick, but it's thick. Yeah. It all makes sense in the toaster.
Okay.
We take it out of the toaster. We put salted, thick butter on there, loads of it. It's drenched in salty butter.
Yeah.
Then
awesome.
We put the mature cheddar cheese all over it. We melt that. We get it out. I don't want any of the sauces on there, although I do like that sometimes to just treat myself. Makes it feel like a pizza, doesn't it? And then... it does, doesn't it? And then we have, just to if I'm feeling healthy, I feel like, right, you know those oblong tomatoes?
Yes.
Those, cutting off, face down. Mm. They've not been under the grill. They're cold.
Mm-hmm.
But you put them face down, about 3 slices on each half of bread.
Yeah, that is like a mini pizza.
That's like a mini pizza, yeah.
it is.
Yeah, that's proper mini.
It's like an upside down pizza.
Yeah.
Because the tomato's on the top and the cheese is on the bottom.
Yeah, it is actually.
Would you ever stray into the area of Marmite on cheese and toast?
No.
Liam Perrins?
Henderson's? Yeah.
Mustard?
Like that.
Even though they're the same? I know you're not from Sheffield, but you can say on the podcast that Henderson's and Liam Perrins are exactly the same, can't you?
You can
confirm that they're the same.
So by the by, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
Jimmy.
So just so people know.
But I do like a bit of Liam Perrins on my toast. But again, that's just a bit of a breezy brawness sometimes, you know what I mean? It's just a bit of a treat if I'm feeling a bit saucy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, it's just cheese and tomato.
Yeah. Lovely.
I don't think we've ever had cheese on toast.
I'm trying to think if we have or not. And I'm very happy that you've chosen it. When I first got into cheese on toast when I was a kid, it was an absolute life changer.
It's a revelation.
This is worth being alive for.
Yeah.
Right. This is what life's
Whatever
all about.
Whatever else life throws at me, at least I've got to taste this.
Yeah.
Absolutely brilliant. And I went for a Marmite and cheese on toast phase. Liam Perrins and cheese on toast phase. I'll probably chuck a few tomatoes on there. Definitely went for a big olive. And I started, when I discovered olives and got into olives, they were going on the cheese on toast every time.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
You're going all the toppings on there, aren't you?
I just think get creative, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, I love that. I think that is it. That's Capricorn, the message Capricorn, today. Yeah. We've got to be more creative with our toast.
Yeah. Would you ever try another cheese on the toast? Would you ever do a Stilton or a brie?
Not on toast. I love brie. I love Stilton. I love cheese, but not on toast. Classic cheese on toast. Let's just keep it mature cheddar. Do you know what I mean?
So get creative, but not too creative.
Yeah. I don't even want Red Leicester on it.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
No. I don't want that. Horrible.
Looks nice.
I like it yellow. I think yellow and red, beautiful. Yeah. Orange and red, it's getting a bit wild visually. Do you know what I mean?
Clashes a bit.
Yeah, and you've got to see. You've got to taste with your eyes first.
Yeah.
Before you taste with your mouth, ain't you?
Yes, you do. First bites with the eye.
Yeah.
I like that you specified homemade as well. Has been made by you or by
it's
your
been mum? Made by, it has been made by me. Also, my really good mate Tembi makes a banging cheese on toast. Yeah. Honestly, she's the only other person I feel like has got it absolutely spot on.
And what does Tembi do that's different to other people? Or does she not let you see?
She doesn't let me see it. Just it's the present. She's better with presentation. Mm-hmm. I'd say that. I go in halves. She goes in triangles.
That's where you get on.
She gets a beautiful. She somehow gets the texture of the cheese that I've not quite mastered. Mm. It's a bit brown in places and yellow in others and golden in others, and it's just.
She's blowtorching really the top. Do you reckon?
Oh yeah, maybe.
It's a good idea.
I think she's blowtorching that. Yeah. Or she brings it out the kitchen.
Yeah. Do you know what? Sometimes I have that as dinner.
No, that's your full dinner.
She's and I just think you're going through the process of preparing, you know, cutting the chopping boards out for the tomatoes. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? So it does feel like you've treated yourself.
You're cooking, in a way.
In a way.
Yeah.
It's like elite toast making. Also, in home economics at St. Bede's Roman Catholic High School, which is the name of my high school, Blackburn.
Glad to hear that. It is yours.
Yeah. In home economics, that was the first thing that we got taught to make.
Well, yeah.
Toast in a grill and a cup of tea, which I was very baffled about because by that age I was like, we're making rice and stew.
Yeah.
In our household. What are you guys doing? Like, you can't make toast in a toaster. Why are we doing it in the grill?
It's an easy day at school for you, that though, isn't it?
Oh, it was lovely. Yeah, it was like, on your to-do list for tomorrow, like, must bring in one tea bag.
You had to bring it.
We had to bring in two slices of bread.
What? They're not providing a tea bag and two slices
of
bread?
They would provide the milk.
Oh, good for them.
They would provide the sugar and they would provide the butter.
Cheese?
They didn't provide cheese, jam or any of the toppings, no. No, they didn't.
What would happen if you turned up without the bread?
That was it. You had to sit out of the whole thing.
Put a tea bag in the toaster.
Yeah.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Main course.
Oh, so tricky. I'm thinking a dish called starch with ogbolo soup.
Uh-huh.
And it would need to be cooked in Nigeria on my mum's veranda.
Love it. Now, I thought your mum lived in Blackburn.
Yeah.
She does. But she does have a gaff in Nigeria.
Great.
Yeah. Go on, mum. She did it. Basically, a lot of Nigerian cuisine that I grew up on was like you'd have a carb-based thing, like grounded rice or pounded yam, and that's quite plain tasting. Yeah. And then you dip it in a really rich soup or sauce, basically, which has a lot of meat in and fish, and it's just so flavoursome. It's delicious. And we grew up on this thing called starch, which is like yellow and jiggly, but it's really nice. It's hot and really nice. My mum would make that and we'd pair it with all sorts of different soups. It's really delicious with pepper soup, but it's also really nice with ogbola soup. But when I got to Lagos and asked for this dish, they didn't even know what I was on about. And I was really confused because I was like, am I more Nigerian all of a sudden that I know this like exotic food that no one in the land knows about? I was so confused.
Yeah.
And then when I was on WhatsApp call to my mum, I was like, mum, they don't know what this thing is. Like, am I saying it wrong? Like, am I using like your pronunciation? I don't get it. And she said, no, it's more common in the south of Nigeria, in Delta States. That's where we're from. Mm-hmm. Very far from Lagos, actually. Mm. So it makes sense.
So have you been there and got it since?
Yeah. And it's delicious.
It's great.
Yeah.
What's in this soup? How's this soup prepared?
To be honest, guilty as charged. I have no idea about this. I don't know how this soup's prepared. It just comes to me.
Can you describe the taste?
Meat in it?
There's meat in it. Well, you know, whatever meat you want in it, tend to have like lamb in it and fish, like a white fish, basically. You just have to hack through the bone.
Yeah.
We just deal with bone and skin and tails in our soups, just like whatever. Do you know what I mean?
But you don't like pistachios crumbled up on your ice cream?
Nah.
Yeah.
Well, you're eating it with your hands.
No, you're right.
You eat with hands. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, Nigeria, you eat with your hands so you can just pick things out. If it's here, I'm like, how am I going to pick out the pistachio from the ice cream with a fork?
Yeah.
What? It's too much. It doesn't make sense. Yeah. Cutlery is very difficult for me at the best of times, but whatever. But it's delicious. It's spicy. I can't really describe the taste. It has to be tasted to be appreciated. Do you know what I mean?
Is it hot, spicy?
It's like a hot spice, but on the spiceometer, because I've got quite a high spice threshold. So I'd say for me, it was quite mild, but for you, it might be off the charts. Do you know what I mean?
Have you seen other people have it and be like, you didn't want me, this was hot. And you're like, yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot of fanning of the mouth and a lot of cold water.
Which doesn't help, by the way, anyone who's doing that out there.
Yeah.
Fanning your mouth absolutely doesn't help reaction to spice.
It's cooling down, it doesn't.
Yeah, not at all.
Nothing helps.
Apart from a glass of milk. Apparently, but who wants milk with the meal?
Sure.
Yeah.
Don't make sense. Messes up the taste buds.
Yeah.
Let's leave it out.
Yeah.
I was torn between that dish and chips, cheese and gravy.
Yeah.
Very different.
I guess once you've had cheese on toast, following it with chips, cheese and gravy is
too much.
Yeah. You're a bit too much in the same. Although, I don't know, maybe just a big blowout meal where that's your vibe and you're just basically doing that over and over and you never do it again.
Literally, I did so much sports at school growing up that I just ate so much. It was absolutely an incredible time in my life, actually, when I think back, because I cannot eat that amount of food anymore without severe consequences. But every single day I used to have a slice of pizza with chips, cheese and gravy, a chocolate chip cookie and a bottle of Limeade every day for 5 years. Jesus. And that was just my lunch.
Just in case anyone listening wasn't aware of where AJ's from. Blackburn. No one else having a bottle of Limeade for lunch. Yeah.
Bottle of Limeade.
It's the most Blackbird thing I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Is a bottle of Limeade for lunch. Limeade or Cherryade.
Limeade. It was one of those Panda Pops. Remember them?
Yeah.
So
look,
good.
Limeade and Cherryade, for me, they're the best ones. Limeade, and like, I've kind of hadn't thought about Limeade for years.
I loved it so much. And if I'd get in to dinner late, I'd made friends with the dinner ladies because back in the day, I did used to be on detention a little bit.
What?
Yeah, I know. But I was actually really good.
Yeah.
But it was just too chatty. And this voice really carries.
Sure.
Like, I'd deny. I'd be like, sir, it weren't me. And they'd be like, right, come on. you've answered back and you were talking detention. And I'd be like, oh, for crying out loud. Lines didn't really work with me. So they'd get me to like empty the bins and stuff. And so the dinner ladies in our school were also the cleaners. So then I'd become really good mates with the cleaners because they'd be like, oh, we get to go home early. AJ's been on detention. She's emptied all these bins. So Tina would just save me the bottle of limeade.
That's nice of her.
Sometimes she'd be like, AJ, don't you rub it.
Because you were doing her job for her.
Yeah, limeade. It's on the house. And I'd be like, cheers, Tina.
The name of every dinner lady ever as well.
Yeah.
Thank you, Tina.
Thank you, Tina. And Janet.
Yeah, of course. And Doris.
I love the idea as well that for a while they were like, you got to do lines, AJ. And then eventually they were like, just empty the fucking bin.
No point getting to do
that's
the
not
lines.
Gonna
you
work. Just empty the bins or something.
Just empty the bins. She's a lost cause. She wants to talk. She wants to talk. Let her talk whilst emptying the bins.
To the dinner ladies. Hustling herself some free limeade.
Yeah.
Dream side dish.
Creamed spinach.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you just feel so posh when you're having creamed spinach in a restaurant?
Yeah, yeah.
And my favourite creamed spinach at the moment is on Dean Street Townhouse.
Mm-hmm. Nice place.
A very swanky establishment in the heart of London, Soho. And I remember...
The amount that Ben is laughing this episode. No, yeah, it's funny.
Yeah.
But just things like in the heart of London, Soho.
It's really, yeah.
He's gone.
He's gone. He's on the floor. I don't know why. But I just remember, right, so when I moved to London, everything is just, oh gosh, so expensive. Mm-hmm. It's actually criminal, like how expensive things are.
It should be locked
and,
up.
Yeah.
You know, like,
15 quid for a bottle of limeade.
Like, can you get up?
Get them for the dinner lady back in Blackburn. 15 quid here for?
Be like a lot. And I remember going to Dean Street Townhouse for the first time many moons ago. Yeah. And I had it was like a TV meeting. Mm-hmm. So it's one of those meetings where you're not paying. But also, it was one of my first meetings, so I didn't know the paying etiquette. I thought I was paying, so I would quite often genuinely pick the cheapest thing on the menu, even if I didn't like it, and be like, I am going to go for what I can afford, which is this. And it's usually like burgers and chips, and it's like in a really swanky place.
Yeah.
But I remember I just was like, oh, I'm going to get, what's that really cheap steak? As in like the thin, the really thin
minute,
one.
Minute steak?
It's like a minute steak, right? So I ordered that.
Butler steak.
And I was like, right, I'm going to get that. And that'll come with a side. So lovely. And then they were like, do you want a side with that? I said, what does it come with? And they said, nothing. I couldn't believe my ears.
No, that's mad.
I couldn't believe it. I was like, wait a minute. This place is robbing people blind.
Yeah.
You're just presenting people with a piece of meat with nothing on the side.
Yeah.
I had to pay extra for that. Anyway, I treated myself to a £5 portion of creamed spinach, and I've never looked back since. Stunning.
Yeah.
Made to perfection. It comes in this little like oval dish.
Mm-hmm.
All those posh places, it comes separately, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Chips have a pot. The spinach has a pot. Your meat has a plate. Like everything's separated. It's not just slaps on one plate like in a Wetherspoon. Do you know what I mean? Nothing's touching. And you sort of have to scoop it out one at a time as you so please. But I love it. It's so nice.
Do you think, because £5.
Spenny.
I always think there's not enough spinach in the, like I haven't been to, I think I have been to where you talked about actually, but I don't know if I've had the cream spinach, but every time I've ordered spinach, like wilted spinach, cream spinach, whatever, I always think there's not enough.
Well, it's tricky with spinach, isn't it? Because have you ever made it at home?
Yeah.
You will buy the biggest pack of spinach and you'll put it all in your frying pan and it will just cover one slice of toast with your eggs and avocado.
Well, that's going on toast as well, is it? Get everything you're cooking at home, whack it on some toast, for God's sake.
Honestly, just whack it
on. You're right. Spinach is mad. It's mad.
It is mad. Yeah. It just disappears. It evaporates. So I'm like, to be honest, they must have used about 3 gallons of spinach in order, three kg of spinach in order to get that little pot.
Yeah. I think it should be bottomless, though.
bottom the spinach.
For a fiver, I want bottom the spinach. I want
cream spinach.
Just to keep bringing them out.
How much could you eat of that?
It's not a Corby.
Okay, at least three of them.
It's not a Toby Carvery, though. You can't have bottomless of that.
Cream spinach. I love cream spinach, but it's so rich that I'll only get through one oval.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. It is rich, but that's what I like. Mm. It tastes expensive.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's like, we've made it.
Yeah.
We've absolutely made it. You get to the end of that meeting meal and you're like, I've ordered really humbly because I obviously am going to get my card out in a second.
Yeah.
Use the bar job money to pay for this. And then they get it. And then you think, oh, bloody hell, I should have eaten more.
You knew for the next time though,
yeah,
right?
I knew for the next time.
Surely nowadays you know they're getting it, right?
They don't always get it. They're sometimes not. I get it, yeah. What?
Who are you meeting with?
I know. Execs.
Oh, they're not getting it. Execs ain't getting it.
Stingy execs. Making me pay my way. How dare they?
It's appalling.
We talked about cream spinach a bit on the podcast before. I always bang on about this. The Hawksmoor cream spinach.
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
I thought you were about to say Hawksmoor and that Ed was going to be really delighted.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's good stuff.
That is delicious. Have you ever had a roast dinner there?
No, I've not had a roast there before, actually.
Yeah, it's quite nice.
Yeah.
Very good. Very, very delicious.
They know what they're doing.
Yeah.
And we got sent some like boxes during lockdown from them. And the cream spinach came in a big, you know, plastic pouch, but loads of it.
Industrial size.
Yeah, just sat there eating a big bowl of that. Loads of nutmeg in it as well. It's really good.
Interesting.
It's good. It works.
Nodding along as well, James.
Ed had told me that Ed just sat there and ate the whole thing. And I was like, yeah, Ed's got problems. And then, like, the next day I was texting him like, I just ate the whole thing. Just sat and watched whatever it was in lockdown. Squid Game on.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just watched. I just remember from the Squid Game. I ate all the cream spinach. Your dream drink, AJ. Looks like there's a lot of things competing in your head at the minute.
There's a lot of things competing.
Yeah.
As you know, I love water.
Yes.
So there's Blackburn Water as a contender.
Blackburn Water can't be a contender for dream drink. Surely not, AJ.
Come on, it is nice.
Yeah.
But do you know what? I do love
like holy water.
Limeade.
Yeah, limeade. Limeade could be in the mix.
Yeah.
A little panda pop.
Mm-hmm. From the dinner lady.
Beautiful. I love it when you're going on holiday.
Yeah.
You're catching an early flight. Mm-hmm. And nothing says a holiday like popping in to the airport Wetherspoons and getting a little glass of fizz, something nice. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Usually, if I do that at the airport, I like a rum and coke or a little glass of Prosecco.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that. And I think, blooming heck, it's 11 a.m. and I'm having a drink. I am on holiday. Like the holiday started in the airport.
Yes.
That's very exciting. That feels like a dream in itself because it's just, honestly, it conjures up so many positive memories. I also love pina coladas.
Mm.
And have you tasted the M&S pina coladas out of the tin?
No.
They're so good. Like perfect for a picnic in the park or just like a journey on a train.
Yeah,
lovely. So I like a pina colada. My favourite drink at the moment is a margarita.
Mm-hmm.
People think that's quite basic, but actually I think it's quite bougie.
Yeah.
Because I feel like you have to have quite an acquired taste to really like the taste of margarita.
Mm-hmm.
And also I always specify a salty rim.
Yes.
I really like a salty rim.
All
the way around. There's some places, I recently was in New York, sometimes they just put the salt just down the side of a glass.
Yeah.
And I was like, don't make me lick the side of the glass before taking a swig of this margarita.
Yeah. Yeah,
just
yeah.
put it on the entirety of the rim. And I can drink it normally. But you're making me glass lick and it's just
You're rotating it as you're drinking it all the way around the rim.
Yeah. Sometimes
they'll do like a half rim as well.
No.
If you want a salty rim, you should get it, all the way around.
All the way around, unless you specify. The standard margarita, in my opinion, should come with a salty rim all the way around. The entire circumference of the glass should be salty, unless otherwise stated.
Here's an idea for you. If we're, you know, I feel like we invented the poppadom course.
Mm.
Why not this? A margarita, but rather than fresh lime juice, you use a panda pop limeade.
Oh, think that would be disgusting. I really do.
Okay.
I really do. What would a Panda Pop mix well with? I think a white rum and a Panda Pop would go really nicely. Like a
limeade?
Like a limeade with a Ray and Nephew. I think that would take the edge off Ray and Nephew. That'd be quite nice. Or just a Malibu. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, Panda Pop and Malibu.
Very sugary, very sweet.
Yeah.
Very, very sweet, but worth it.
So for this drink, for the drinks course, would you like to be in an airport just before you're about to go on holiday? Is that the feeling that you want to invoke when you're having this?
I love that feeling, and I do. I love it. I love the Weatherspoons. I just, I'm like, oh, it's nice.
And why the Weatherspoons in the air? Because obviously there's a lot of options in the airport, places to drink, but if it's Weatherspoons, do you feel like you're properly saying goodbye to the UK?
Yeah, I do, because I think as well, when you go into certain places, nowhere does pubs like the UK.
True. At all.
Yeah. Even in America, they're like, oh, we've got the Irish bars. I'm like, it feels like a themed bar rather than an actual pub.
And it's table service.
Yeah, it's very confusing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think maybe, should we have a rum and coke?
Yeah.
At the Weatherspoons before catching a flight? Yeah. Yeah. That'd be nice.
You can tell the truth to us. You're not still going to Weatherspoons in the airport.
Come on.
You're in the lounge, mate.
Not.
Give over, AJ.
I'm not. I'm very rarely in the lounge. Yeah.
You've got access, though.
But I've got access. Yeah.
You've got access.
Do you know what it is with the lounges that confuses me a little bit?
Yeah.
Not all of them do the announcements.
Right.
And I need a tannoy.
Yeah.
I'm very easily distracted.
Yeah.
Tell me to go to my gate.
Yeah.
But if it's silence, I'll be like, oh, I'll listen to a podcast or I'll listen to some music, I'll read a bit of a book. Oh, what's that on the counter? I'll have a little bit of bite to eat. And then I'm like, oh, should I get these nuts for the flight?
Yeah.
They're probably serving food on the flight, but I'll get these ones as well. Should I do that? And before you know it, I'm like, oh my gosh, I've missed my flight. Or like, I've nearly missed my flight. Do you know
what I mean? Have you missed flights before?
I've only missed one. I've missed two flights before. Two. And it was bad. It was not good. It was not good. Oh, God. One of the flights that I missed was to one of my best mates, Veronica. She was getting married in Casablanca.
Oh, my God.
Casablanca in Morocco. Basically, as like one flight a day from London. Do not miss it. Because if you miss it, you're not getting on that flight today.
Yeah.
You'll have to pay loads of money to get there tomorrow. Fine. I've missed the flight. That's stressful. Mismanagement of time.
Uh-huh.
Let's just put it down to that.
Okay.
And then,
were you at the airport when you missed the flight?
No, I was actually on the train to the airport, being like, ooh, I've got my train times mixed up here, I think. Wait a minute, this train doesn't get to London Bridge until that time, and then I need to get to Victoria, and then I need to get onto the Heathrow Express, and I'm going to miss this flight. I basically was like, I'm going to miss the
Definitely
flight.
Missing it.
I'm on route, and I'm like, I literally got there and they were like, we closed this gate like 2 hours ago. You're like, not even a little bit late for your flight. You're like, well late for your flight.
Amazing
well,
that you like, still, even though you knew that, you still went to the airport.
I just committed.
Just in case.
Because I just thought, well, you know, there's flight delays.
Yeah.
You know, there's pandemoniums at airports.
Yeah.
I was praying for a flight delay.
Yeah.
Got there.
Yeah.
Nah, they were running on time. So the flight had gone. And I was left with a real dilemma because there's no more flights until tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah.
But I need to be there for tomorrow morning because in the afternoon, my friend is getting married and I am the bridesmaid.
Oh, no. Oh, AJ.
Oh, AJ.
Oh, guys, it was so bad. I literally had to fly via, like, Portugal. I had to go to, like, three different countries before I could get to Casablanca.
Yeah.
I was like, guys, I need to get there in the morning. And they were like, do you know what? The only way you can do this is by spending all of your money and, like, we just start flying from now. Get to Portugal, go to Spain, go to France, go here, go there. I literally was on like five different flights to get to Casablanca.
God.
And then I get there, the taxis to where I needed to get. It was a lot. Long story short, I got there just in the nick of time, but I looked dreadful. I looked like I'd been dragged through a hedge backwards. My mate was like, also, Veronica is the most chilled person ever. It was like she weren't even bothered. She was like, oh, don't worry about it. I was like, I have been around the world to get here.
Yeah.
This is insane. So, yeah, that's why I don't like lounges.
Yes.
Your dream dessert.
Custard and cake. Custard and cake is one of my favourite all-time desserts. It reminds me of home. And my dad has got a sweet tooth. And for many years before I moved into my own place, I lived in my dad's living room, essentially. And sometimes he'd knock on the living room door where I slept. The living room was also my bedroom. Yes. And he'd knock on the living room door and he'd go, do you want some custard and cake? And it'd be like midnight. And I'd go, yeah. It felt like really naughty. It was like, it's bedtime. Our eyes should be closed. But here we are. We are going to crack open a tin of custard, thick custard, and we are going to get like a sponge cake and drizzle it all over. And it's going to be amazing. I say the can because I'd get the like ambrosia.
Yeah.
My dad would use the powder.
Right, yeah.
The powder of custard and he'd make it himself.
Wow.
It was just lovely. And we'd always have that growing up as well. That would be our big dessert. Parents are Nigerian. They only liked hot desserts, really. Mm-hmm. Of course we'd have ice cream, but really it was all about custard and cake. My mum just...
Hot custard?
Hot custard.
On cold cake? Or would you warm the cake through?
Room temperature cake.
Room temp cake.
Yeah. But the hot custard obviously heats the cake and it's amazing. It was also my favourite dessert at school. If there was custard and cake, it was amazing. But at school, it would be like a chocolate cake with mint custard and it would be green mint custard. Have you ever had it?
I remember having that at school, I think.
I loved it.
I don't think I ever had it, but I've heard about it on this podcast.
Oh my gosh, always lumpy, but fine.
Presumably Tina's saved you a portion of that.
Tina's Tina's got me back.
Yeah.
Really, really delicious. But I love, love, love custard and cake to this day. And it feels like a real treat every time I have it.
It's a really nice story.
Yeah.
I like it a lot. And it was like normal sponge cake at home?
Normal sponge cake. Just
plain?
Yeah, always Victoria quite plain. Sponge. Victoria. Is Victoria sponge the one with the ice, the jam in the middle?
Yeah.
No, not that. Not
just
that.
Just normal.
Just the sponge throughout, the entirety is sponge. I don't want any fussiness, really. Mm-hmm. Don't love icing on cakes massively as well. I tended to scoop that off most of the time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's me, custard and cake. Always made at home because, quite frankly, restaurants don't really do it, do they?
Sure.
Custard and cake, no.
It's like, even when you order an apple crumble in a restaurant, it's always with ice cream or cream.
Mm.
No one really does custard, not even in the winter.
Well, yesterday, Ed and I went for lunch together.
We did.
And we got so full on the main course and we also ordered a whole bunch of starters that I couldn't manage a dessert, which I was gutted about because they had a deep fried bread and butter pudding with cold custard.
Ugh.
Oh, come on. Come on. What are you on about?
He's sharing. He's spilling his heart out here.
Sorry.
I have no idea how important this is to me.
Cold custard?
Do you not like cold custard on a hot dessert?
Yeah.
No.
For me, it's got to be cold custard on a hot dessert.
Ugh, guys, what's happening here? The only cold custard I like is in a creme brulee.
Yeah.
Even counted as custard?
Yeah, kind of.
I think it is, yeah.
That's the only one I'll accept because it's hard on the top.
Yeah.
And everything is contextualized. Everything's the same temperature. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. The topping's the same temperature as the inside. But this hot and cold, it's a bit...
I don't know.
Wild, especially when it comes to custard, which I think should always be served hot.
What would you do if one night when your dad knocked on the door and he said, do you want some custard and cake? And you went, yeah, that'd be great. I know it's midnight and we should have our eyes closed, but I want custard and cake. And then he brought it in and he goes, I've tried something new. Then he opens his hand, just dashes a load of pistachio dust all over the top of it. What would you do?
Dad! Are you all right?
Oh, we're role-playing it.
Do you need to...
I'm just trying something new.
Do I need to take you to see someone? You are getting on a bit now. You just turned 84, my dad.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Dad. Are you? Is everything all right?
Yeah, I'm just trying something new. I know I'm 84, but I'm just, you know.
Yeah.
He wouldn't like that. I know my dad, and he would not like pistachio on his custard and cake.
No.
Absolutely not.
I think it sounds quite nice. I've convinced myself into it.
I'll read your menu back to you now, see how you feel about it.
Yep.
Water, you want Blackburn tap water from your mum's kitchen tap. Poppadom for bread, you want a tuna mayo poppadom with cucumber.
Stunning.
Starter, a homemade cheese on toast with tomato. Main course, starch with...
Ogbola soup.
Ogbola soup from your mum's place in Nigeria.
Mm-hmm.
Side course, Dreamed spinach.
Yeah,
Creamed spinach. From the Dean Street townhouse. Drink, you want rum and coke at an airport, Weatherspoons.
Yeah.
Or before a flight.
Before a flight.
That you're definitely getting.
That I'm definitely catching. Yeah.
Dessert, custard cake brought down to you at midnight by your dad.
Oh, that's lovely, that.
It's lovely. Everything is really tied to home in some way.
Yeah.
I am actually a real homebody.
Mm.
I am.
Do you know what? I'm going to chuck in a free Panda Pop of Limeade as well.
Thank you.
Thank you.
From Tina.
Deserve it for emptying the bins.
From our Tina.
Good old Tina.
It's so nice.
Thank you so much, AJ.
Wait, is that it?
Do you want more?
Do I not have the munchions?
Honourable munchions.
If you've got other things you want to throw in.
Want to talk about breaking your leg on Strictly?
Don't do the honourable munchions with everyone else but me.
Well, you didn't bring them up. You know, you can...
Well, now that you've asked... My honourable munchion would be broken biscuits. Do you remember them?
Yeah, yeah.
So my mum was a cleaner and she'd pick me and my sister up from school and then we'd go to another school, which she was the cleaner of in Blackburn. Mm-hmm. And it was amazing. It felt like I was in Harry Potter. It was just like this grand school in Blackburn and I just found it so exciting and I also felt very grown up because it was like we're hanging out with my mum and all of my mum's friends who were also cleaners and before they started cleaning the school they would all congregate in the staff room and have a cup of tea with broken biscuits but they'd bring in biscuits basically everyone would bring in a scone or a piece of cake or something. And my mum's contribution was always broken biscuits, which I absolutely loved. And growing up, I always thought I was drinking a cuppa. I always thought, oh, I'm having a cuppa with Doris and Margaret. Oh, it's amazing. Mm-hmm. With me mum. So good before we, like, around the school.
How old were you in this situation?
Oh, my gosh. I was, for many years, actually, but definitely between the ages of, like, 6 and 13, mm-hmm. and I loved it.
Because I'd say, 13's probably the point where when you're hanging out with your mum and loads of women called Doris and Margaret, you're starting to go, that's probably not my scene anymore.
This isn't my scene.
And really, I should be back at my own school emptying the bins. I'll see you later.
Presumably,
ladies.
Yeah. All the cleaners from your school came over. They were dusting off.
Yeah,
nothing to do again today. Thanks, AJ.
You've been naughty in class.
I reckon, even though it's an honourable mention, we'll ask the genie, but I think we can throw in a few broken biscuits for after the meal.
Yeah, a petty four?
Yes.
Yeah. That'd be lovely.
Bring it along with the check?
With a cuppa?
It needs to be brought along with a hot cup of Ovaltine.
Okay.
Do you remember
that's what you were drinking?
Yeah. That's what I was actually drinking.
I see.
But I believed in my head that it was a cup of tea.
Yeah.
We just all called it a brew, Ovaltine. Basically.
Great.
So it was like, oh, yeah, we're having a brew with the girls.
Is it like a malted thing, Ovaltine? What is it?
Yeah. It's kind of like, kind of looks like hot chocolate.
Mm.
And I think the actual way to make it is just with hot water, but we'd always throw in milk.
Yeah,
do you
why
know
not?
What I mean? Yeah, throw in milk. Mm. And it was just so nice. It's like a proper comfort. And I loved going to that school. It was exciting.
And what kind of biscuits before we wrap it? I'm annoyed if I don't know what kind of biscuits are in the broken biscuits.
Well, basically, broken biscuits is just literally the factory odd bits of the biscuits.
Yeah.
And so my favourites would be the custard creams, mm-hmm. chocolate bourbons. I always liked a chocolate digestive as well. That felt very mature because, like, my mum and dad like that. So I felt like, they like that. That's quite grown up. And controversial, because a lot of people think this is very plain and boring, but I think it's one of the most underrated biscuits on the planet, a rich tea. Really good for Dunkin', really good.
Oh, look, you know, rich tea versus a plain digestive. I'm going rich tea every time.
Exactly.
I'm a digestive boy.
Oh,
I don't mind a rich tea.
Doesn't deserve to.
But I love broken biscuits.
Eat a biscuit, if that's his.
My grandma used to buy broken biscuits from Leeds Market all the time, in big plastic bags. Just go and get a massive plastic bag of broken biscuits. And the good thing about them is because there's so many crumbs in there, that then covers the other biscuits. So you get the flavour of some biscuits on the other biscuits.
That is so true. I forgot about that small detail.
Yeah.
But that is so true. We'd get them in massive sacks, right, in Morrison's in Blackburn. Even shopping on a Saturday was quite an exciting experience. We'd alternate between two. Morrison's, which was fun because it had this huge clock, which was like, it was like a monkey, like on a tree with palms. And it was like, it's a huge animated clock in the middle of Morrison's. Yeah. It's amazing.
Right.
So I loved that shopping experience for that. But we'd also go to Quicksave. Do you remember Quicksave?
Yeah.
That we'd also go there. And the dairy section, you'd have to go through, what are they called? It's like the plastic curtain.
Yeah.
That you'd only see in like an industrial milk factory or
whatever. Yeah.
That's where they'd store the milk and butter.
Are you sure you're supposed to be back there? It sounds like you've gone into the back of the shop.
Yeah. That's legit.
That was legit. That's where you'd have to go shopping. And I loved it because I felt like, you know, especially on the trolley, you'd feel like you was going through the car wash as a car. It's so fun.
I'm so glad we got your honourable mentions. We never would have heard you like feeling like you're a car.
This is the longest we've carried on chatting after I've read the menu back. I feel like you're about to get a detention for talking too much. But yeah, I'm delighted we're here.
Yeah, fantastic. Thank you so much, AJ.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you, AJ.
Well, there we are, James, AJ Dudu. Lovely chat.
What a lovely chat. I mean, I imagine that's been edited down quite severely, but every single bit of that conversation was a joy.
Yes, it was. And some real chuckles coming from Benito.
Yeah, yeah. Benito has had a lovely day today.
Yes.
He's had three episodes in a row.
Yeah.
Which he's loved.
He's had a lovely day, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's had a great day laughing and giggling, and that's good. That's important that he has a nice day.
Yes. You're going to get a lot more questions from your girlfriend saying who was the lady laughing in the background.
Yeah, that was a great Benito. Enjoyed his job.
Of course, watch Big Brother.
Yeah.
Big Brother is coming out in October on ITV2 and ITVX, and AJ is the host, and I'm sure there's going to be some pretty fruity goings on.
Yeah, pretty fruity, just like Ed's fruit salad.
Yes. We should also say we forgot to make AJ taste a pistachio at the end.
We did it afterwards in the kitchen.
Yeah.
She wasn't a fan.
No.
Which was, I felt bad about. But she disliked it so much she had to drink an entire glass of red wine.
Yes.
To get rid of the taste.
Of course, AJ did not say pick a lily.
Did say pick a lily. Don't trust anything that's luminous. Don't eat anything that's luminous.
No.
You can trust it. You can trust luminous things, I guess.
Yeah, you can trust them, like air traffic controllers, those guys on the ground.
Yeah, they're luminous. You have to trust them.
Yeah, you got to trust them, especially if you're a pilot.
If you go, I ain't trusting you, you're luminous, just like pick a lily, and then you crash your plane.
The danger is, I suppose, if you're a pilot and you're landing at night, if someone spills some pick a lily on next to the runway. Yeah.
Especially if they've spilt it in the shape of an arrow, pointing in the wrong direction.
Pointing towards the terminal.
The pick a lily strikes again.
Oh, pick a lily. I'm on tour as well. Hot diggity dog, edgamble.co.uk
for
details and tickets. There's lots of different ways to say it.
Yeah.
In one of the trailers, I look down the camera and go, hot diggity dog. And I'm like, that's just been hanging out with James too much.
Yeah, we hang out with each other too much.
That's the way James would say it.
We're the same person at this point.
But in another one, I say, hot diggity dog.
Oh, that's good. That's hanging out with
Nish
too much.
Nish is a grandpa from a Wild West film.
Yep.
I've got a book coming out as well, Glutton, The Multi-Course Life of a Very Greedy Boy, available for pre-order now. If you go to Waterstones, you get a signed copy. If ever get through signing these front pages, which is unlikely at the moment.
That takes a long time. Hey, and apologies to the people at Waterstones who are running the Waterstones tent at Latitude, because you kept asking me to come over and sign the books, and I swerved you. We got loads of food sent to us recently.
We did.
I want to say thank you personally.
Yes.
Here's one big thank you.
Yeah.
Longbottom & Co. Yes. Virgin Mary's.
Yes.
Now, as you may have gathered from listening to this podcast, the off menu fridge is often stocked very generously.
Yes.
With soft drinks, maybe the occasional alcoholic beverage.
Yes.
I was very excited. I didn't know we'd been delivered these, and I opened up the fridge door and saw that we had Virgin Mary's.
Yeah.
I've been sinking them like nobody's business.
Yeah.
And I've got such a craving for them that yesterday when I went out for a meal, I ordered a Virgin Mary because I've enjoyed the Longbottom Virgin Mary so much.
Well, there you go. Longbottom & Co., of course, started by Neville Longbottom.
Yes.
And he decided to go with Virgin Mary's because that was his nickname at school.
It was his nickname at school until he beheaded the basilisk, yeah. And then he was called Big Dick Longbottom.
That's what, if you ever take a Longbottom & Co. Virgin Mary and add vodka to it, you have to call it a Big Dick Longbottom.
You have to.
Yeah.
Because he beheaded the basilisk.
That's the rules, and I'm looking forward to hearing.
It wasn't the basilisk, was it? It was the Nagini.
Yeah.
Well, apologies to all the Potterheads out there.
No, I don't apologise to those guys anymore.
No.
I look forward to hearing this entire conversation on their Instagram stories.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, great. Yeah. Well, it's a good conversation.
Yes. Well, thank you for sending those.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that.
Thank you so much to Rave Coffee Co. We get coffee sent to us on the reg, and it's always exciting to try new coffees. This is a particularly delicious bean, and we're using it in the office. It goes to the guests. It goes to me.
And let me tell you, I do think it's delicious, because whatever we had before this, I didn't say anything, but it was gross.
Okay.
I wasn't liking it. It made me feel a bit sick. I wasn't finishing the cups.
Yeah, it's because you only just started drinking caffeine again.
Yeah, that's probably why it was a bit too full on for me. But these have been delicious the last few days.
Yes, thank you, Rave. Thank you so much to Chunk Cookies, plant-based cookies.
Delicious, really gooey.
Really gooey. I took a few home. We had some vegan friends staying over. I thought this is going to be perfect. And I ate one of them. I put the rest in the cupboard. And I think subconsciously, I thought, that was delicious. So I did not make my vegan friends aware of them.
Very clever.
Yes.
I ate two in the office.
Yes.
So I thought best not bring any home.
I was warming them up. Had the Kinder Bueno one was delicious.
Yeah.
There was one with a bit of brownie on the top. That was delicious.
Chocolate orange one.
Oh, my goodness.
Chocolate orange one that I went for straight away. And Ed immediately went, I know you're going to have that one.
Yeah.
Out of all of them.
I know, yeah.
So there you go. That's the point of my life I've got to now.
Yes.
I'm a predictable, sad old man.
Thank you, Chunk. We also got sent a perfect draft beer machine, James.
Talk me through that.
It's like draft beer that you can have. I mean, I'm not taking that home because that's a disaster for me if that's knocking around.
Yeah, I think it's fun to have in the office.
There's one in the office. So now we can offer guests any time of the day a cold draft beer from a perfect draft beer machine.
And if there's anyone listening to this who we've asked to be on the podcast, any potential guests who have said no in the past, now, if this sweetens the deal, we've got a perfect draft beer machine in the office. We can pour you a perfect draft beer.
Always cold, always delicious. Come in 9:30 a.m., sink a beer with us.
Yeah.
And then we'll record a poddy.
Then record a poddy. I don't know. The only thing that reminds me of it is hot toddy, but I don't think the machine does
that. Boddington's, but I don't think it does that either. Thanks for listening. We will see you next week. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to this show ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today.
Hello, it's Rob Orton here. Now, I've got a podcast called the Rob Orton Daily Podcast. It's a short poem or story or a musing on a particular subject every single day. What if you commissioned Picasso to paint your house and he just painted it white? Would you be annoyed? Wouldn't it be good if you could pour Miracle-Gro onto other things, such as pizzas? Have you ever thought about what a beach might be like if it was made from digestive biscuits? Have you ever tried to cry about something you're not thinking about? If you would like to listen to a daily podcast that includes subjects I've mentioned there, then please listen to the Rob Orton Daily Podcast.